Good morning. I greet you this morning in the words that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I stand before you here this morning, and I want to address you as a church family. You may be wondering why Reverend Friesen wasn't going up here first, and I know many of you already know this, but I want to share what is on my heart. Late yesterday afternoon, we got a text and then a call that our local pastor, Reverend John Friesen, had passed away very suddenly. As the family has told me, they had a family gathering yesterday, and he was going out to get the tractor and the trailer ready to take the family on a hayride. And when it seemed to tarry for a while, they went and checked, and they found him lying beside the trailer, unresponsive. We grieve as a family, we grieve as a church. But as Paul said in Corinthians, that we can be comforted through the comfort that only comes from God. And this morning I would just ask you to uphold this family in your prayers. They will need our love. They will need our support. Especially for Anne, as and not only Anne, but all the family. So as we celebrate Christmas, is a time where we celebrate the great love that God had for us and the love that he sent to us. But we also know and we trust and we rest assured that John was God's child. And though we think that he left us way too soon, our Heavenly Father saw it fit to take him home, and that his work here was done. And I'm sure he's welcomed him, saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So I just invite you to bow with me as we open in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we are before you. We stand, sit in your presence. And Lord, our hearts are broken, our hearts are grieved. And yet, Lord, we know that you have promised that you will comfort us. And Lord, I just pray that that comfort would be evident in a powerful manner this morning. Not just this morning, but as we go forward. May you uphold Anne and the family and our church family as we remember your servant who served this congregation for many years. May we be encouraged. May the example that he has left for us, may it continue to live on, though he is not here in person, that the example he left may be what we can follow. And this morning, Lord, as we want to listen to your word, I pray that you would be with each one, that our hearts would be open, that our hearts would be soft. May you also be with Pastor Henry, as he shares your word, and may you give him strength, and that the words that he speaks will be to your honor and glory. And Lord, as we sing, may this also serve to comfort us and glorify you, for you deserve all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we'll start with two songs.
Number 85. Well, good morning. It is good to be a Morden again to bring the gospel to you. When we look at the white snow, that reminds us that Christmas is here again. It is Sunday, it's the Sunday before Christmas, where we want to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And when we look at God's Word, when God made the world and everything that's in it, He made man in His own image. And He loved us, that's why He made man. He had no need of us. He didn't need help from us or anything. But because He loved us, He made us. And when we, for our text words this morning, I want to go to Isaiah chapter 8 and 9. This is where Isaiah comforted his people in a time of trouble and turmoil. When we read the last two verses in chapter 8 in Isaiah, and they shall pass through at hardly, be stead and hungry, it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look upon the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. And then Isaiah brings them the good news and says in chapter 9, he says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land. But then in verse 2, he says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shone. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. Thy joy before thee according to the joy and harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. He says, I'm not bringing you here earthly joy that after the harvest or after something in this world. But he said, there's something better coming. Then in verse 6, he says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be up on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, a Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. My friends in Christ, this should encourage all of us. This gives us that joy. Because Christ, when God sent Him into the world, He is the one that can heal us from all our troubles. He's a Counselor to us through the Word, through the Holy Word, through the living Word. And He can give us that peace and that joy that we need in this life. He says, of the increase of His government of peace shall there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And He says, the seal of the Lord of hosts will proclaim this. Yes, it is a story that never grows old. It is a story that we can hear again and again and be encouraged, because without this Redeemer, we would be lost forever. And then when we go to Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Here we read, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. In verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. See, when God sent His Son into the world, It was not just for the Jews as they figured in the beginning. They thought that he would redeem Israel, but it was for the Gentiles, for all the people in the world. And he is not a little baby anymore. Jesus Christ is sitting in the right hand of God as we speak. And he is our Savior and our Redeemer. It says here, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Isn't that wonderful? You know, if we look back in our lives, what we have all done, if there would have been no redemption, we would not have peace today. We would live in agony. But because God's sending his Son, we have redemption. We have forgiveness. And when the psalmist says, Lord, make my soul as white as the snow. And when we drove to church today, we saw how beautiful and white the snow was. No man has touched it. It's so clean. And that is what God does. He purifies us. It says here, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So see, this message, he says, we are not supposed to cease proclaiming in this world, so that the unbeliever also will come to Christ. And Titus 3, verse 4, we read, but after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Amen? We cannot earn salvation, but it is through this baby that he sent. He says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a wonderful message. Christ is going to come again and receive those that believe in him. We were without hope and without God in this world. But it is through this baby that we can be renewed again. When we look at Christmas, we have many things we can say. And when God sent his Son into the world, he thought also about family. It has all to do with families. When he says, you know, whoever gives a person a glass of water in my name, I will recognize that. The love we have for one another, because he cares for us. There's a story that this young man, he left home. He had some disagreement with his parents. And he left for another city, and he lived his own life. But when Christmas came closer, he started thinking about home again. He started thinking about this table, the dinner, and spending time with family. But he couldn't get himself to go home. So he tells himself, I'm going to write a letter to my parents. But that even took a while. And then as Christmas grew near, he has this letter in his hand. He wants to drop it in a mailbox. And then he thinks about it again. And he says, well, I'm just going to jump on this freight train. And I know it's going right past my town. And I'm just going to go past my mom and dad's house. Maybe that will comfort me. So he jumps on the train. There's more men on this train. And one man asked him, you know, where he was going. And he says, I'm just going to go to the next town. And My parents' house is right by the apple tree and the white flag. And as they reached the town, one of the gentlemen says to him, "I see the apple tree and the flag, but he's not turning now. He's looking the other way." And when the train stops, he looks the other way and he sees his parents standing by the apple tree waiting for him. They were expecting him. See, God's love is so great. And we should not let the little things come in between. He says, "What you do to one another, you do it unto me." And that's what Christmas is all about. The love of God. And to spend time together with family and put our differences aside. Because God loves us and He really cares for us. When we look at Isaiah chapter 40, in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 to 8. Here it reads, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." He says, "Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." See, when God's Holy Spirit works in us, and knocks on our hearts. See, God wants to make things right in our lives. He wants to help us make our way straight that we can come to the Lord and humble ourselves like He did. God, He humbled Himself. And then it says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." It says, "The voice cried, said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry?" And it says, "All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is as a flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Amen. And I'm going to stop here in the first part of our message. And I would ask you now to go on bended knee and talk to God whatever lays on your heart. So would you bow with me? May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. we read of the good news, where God sent his angel to fulfill his promise on the earth. The wonderful news the angel brought to Mary and Joseph and said, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." The Bible describes it a name that is above every name. The angel also came to Joseph and said to him, "Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And Joseph was reluctant, but when the angel talked to Joseph, he took Mary as his wife to fulfill God's desire. The angel of the Lord also came to the shepherds and brought the good news unto them and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You know, the world can offer a lot of glamour and glitter, but you know what? It does not replace the joy when one has receive forgiveness for sin, for our sins, right? It cannot replace the forgiveness. And when we have peace in our hearts, like Isaiah, like we read in Isaiah, that Christ came to give us peace, we have something that the world cannot give. And this wonderful news was this: For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. When the angels had said this, they were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Today, brothers and sisters in Christ, we glorify God's name. We lift his name up because he is the one that loves us. He is the one that cared so much to be willing to sacrifice his own son. Paul says to us in Galatians 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent his son, made of a woman under the law." And when we take this a little further for my text for the second service, I've chosen out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about the incarnation. And it reads this way: "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." When you take this in context, it talks of humility. It talks about humility. Humility is something that we need to have among one another, because God had compassion on us. God has compassion on us and he forgives us. But then when we read further from 6 to 8, and here it talks about the example that we need to be, He says, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The incarnation. In the form of God, he was God. He was equal to God. He possessed deity in all his fullness. He had all the divine. Because he was the Son of God. And he thought it not robbery to be equal to God. Did not see equality as something to be held tight, we could say. Now listen, he was willing to surrender his glory to become the Redeemer. He was willing. See, he came to serve, not to be served. The Holy One, the Sovereign, became a servant. Taking the form of a servant and the likeness of man found in human form. This is the incarnation. He became a human being. But remember, he did not cease to be God. This is important to remember. The Son of God took to himself, our text says, a human nature. He did not take to himself a human person. His personality was the Son since the incarnation. The Son has two natures, divine and human. This is called the apostolic union. His incarnation began at the moment when Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. So when the angel came to Jesus, like we read before, he told her, you're going to have a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. And the instant she conceived, that moment he became flesh. The Jews wanted to stone Jesus and said in John 10:33, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. And you know, and he was God. And in John 5:18, it says, the Jews thought to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And that he was too. He was equal with God. When we go to 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. When we look into all this, we can't comprehend all the things, how God plans things and works things out. We can't comprehend all these things. But that's why the writer here says in Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. Seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. See, Christ, he did not stay a baby, but he grew up to be a man. But he was still God. And yet he is sitting on the right hand of God. And the right hand of God, which we read according to Hebrews 12, verse 2. Like John writes in Revelation 5:13, and every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Yes, he thought it not robbery to be equal with man. And he came in the form of a servant. When you think of Christmas, it is a wonderful time. It is the joy of Christmas. And God making the world and everything that's in it. I would like to turn to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Which confirms what we just said, what we just read. And here John, he starts off in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, he says, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Again, it matches up exactly with our text in Philippians 2. The incarnation. And it says here further, he speaks about it in verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. We know that how the Jews denied him and wanted to kill him. How they despised him because he came to fulfill God's promise. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believed on his name. And further, John says in 14 and 15, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this we don't want to forget. He came full of grace and truth. What he gave us is the holy gospel that we can one day be reunited with him. It is possible what we lost through Adam and Eve, being reunited with Christ and be sitting on the right hand of God one day with him. And this should give us that joy that God wants us to have. That when we leave this world, that we are ready to meet him. Because he said, I will come as a thief in the night when you do not expect it. John says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spoke. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. See, John is acknowledging that he's going to be born. But he was already before me. He was with God when he made the world. Christmas, like I said before, is a wonderful time. It's a joyous time. We give one another gifts. I guess it started when the wise men were searching for Jesus. And they were following the star to Bethlehem. And as they were going to Bethlehem, they were searching for the child. And when Herod heard that the wise men were searching, he said to them, "Search diligently. And when you have found him, come and tell me that I can also come and worship him." See, Herod, he played a significant role in the birth of Jesus Christ. He told them, "Search diligently." Not knowing that he was encouraging us to search diligently. And when the wise men came and found Jesus, what did they do? They presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There was joy. Today, we give gifts to one another. And especially the children. One child will open it with anticipation, tear off the paper where it's wrapped in. He is eager to know what he got for Christmas. The other child will take his time and open it carefully and save the paper. You know, the joy of Christmas. But the greatest joy that was unveiled was when Jesus was born. The one that could cleanse us from all our sins. Yes, the wise men were terrified. The angel showed up. But he says, "I bring you great joy of all people." The good news, not just a little hope, but great joy in all areas of the world and to all colors, yellow, black, and white. The great news. The angel said, "A Savior is born for you. Glory to God." And they were all amazed. And today, we also are amazed. And we are happy that we know Jesus Christ. A true story out of the Holy Bible that never grows old. And the Lord said to the people in Isaiah, like I had in my text this morning, hundreds of years later or back, through the silent years, God broke the silence and introduced the Son Emmanuel. The song fits, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Do we understand what Mary and Joseph went through? Did Mary know that her son would one day walk on water? Did Mary know that he would do miracles one day? I don't know if she did, but she trusted God and she became a servant to the Lord. And if we are his servant, then we are pleasing God with our walk in life. Mary trusted God. Joseph trusted God. She just rode on a donkey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And there was no room in the inn, but it was time for God's son to be born. And that is not just a straight, nice road from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. It is a rugged terrain full of rocks and uneven. But Mary went, and her son was born. It is this message the shepherd brought that night. A Savior is born to you, and God came down to you and me. God is with us. And when he came to Caesarea and Philippi, when Jesus was growing up, the Roman Empire, he saw all the evil worship and the different gods that they were worshiping. And Jesus asked his disciples a question. "Who do men say that I am?" Now Jesus turns to the disciples and said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke up and he says, "You are the, the Son of God, the living Son of God. And Jesus says, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. In the world today, maybe you are facing hardships, and this is why God has sent His Son into the world, because He cares for us. There's many people that still live in darkness, that have nowhere to turn, they think. But it is our duty, it is our job as servants to pray for these people that they may see the light. And maybe as Christmas is fast approaching, maybe have that joy in us that we take time to pray for those who live in darkness, that don't know Jesus Christ and have never taken advantage of the forgiveness of sin. This is my encouragement to all of us this morning. I'm a little bit mixed up this morning. I hope you forgive me. It is kind of sudden that a brother in Christ, a co-worker, has passed on. And let's, together, we can do this. Together, we can send our prayers up for the families, for friends, and for people that suffer in this world this morning. Would you bow with me for closing prayer? Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you again for your word this morning. I want to thank you the way you look after mankind. You see, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time for everything under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, and a time to laugh and a time to embrace. Oh Lord, help us that we may all embrace one another at this time. As we pull together as families, there's a lot of hurt in families. But Lord, when you think of it in reality, there is no time to hate someone. But it is a time to embrace, because we don't know if we're going to live tomorrow. Oh Lord, help us to learn from the message this morning, Lord, that we will also humble ourselves toward one another. Lord, you humbled yourself. You came out of the glory of your Father. And you came and humbled yourselves, and you walked in this world in the form of man. But yet you were God. And you taught us the word. You brought again us hope, this living hope, that we can be reunited with you one day. That we have hope beyond death, where there's joy for all eternity. Lord, this is what we live for. And this is what we thank you for today. And Lord, to you be all the honor and the glory. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. For anything else, we can go to our Lord anytime and talk to him whatever lays on our heart. And at this time, I would ask you one more time to kneel with me in silent prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
And then before we close our service this morning, we thought it would be fitting if we would sing a special song in remembrance of Reverend John. And the song leaders have chosen a song. Maybe this throws a little bit of a loop in for the accompanists. But the song leaders chose a special song that we'd like to sing before Pastor Henry comes up and closes with the benediction. Thank you.
On behalf of my wife Sharon and me, I want to wish you a blessed Christmas that's coming up, and may God be with you. Would you bow with me for the benediction, please? The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace from now and forevermore. Amen. Now go in peace of the Lord.